As You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a woman on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Who can say what it is?
It's Superman. It's all of the above, honestly. I think, yeah, present and accounted for.
Am I the bird or the plane?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay. I mean, I have been traveling a lot, so I guess it does make sense.
Yeah, you're just
jet setter.
Yeah, exactly. No, Superman Returns, but
no, not Superman Returns. That's a different movie. Just Superman. Superman Dawn of Justice.
Superman Begins Again. Superman and the DCEU. I don't think it's called that anymore. They nixed it. He's reneging on it. It's a new, it's just the DC universe.
Yes, it's the DCU. The first film, because the DCEU, I guess, is the previous iteration.
Yeah, of course. It's a rebrand. We support our girls, you know, it takes courage to, you know, try something new by doing the same thing, just in a different font. And I value that effort. And yeah, I mean, this is James Gunn's first movie in his new role as DC, I don't know, head.
Yeah, I'm like, what it technically is his title. I'm like, does it?
Man in charge. He cleaned house.
Frequent partner. Chairman.
Unofficial DC.
Co-chairpersons and CEOs of DC Films.
Right. Gorgeous.
Is what they are. With James Gunn and his producing partner, Peter Safran.
Look at them.
They are.
Love a buddy. Buddy routine. But no, he cleaned house. So this has been in the works. It was sort of like, yeah, we're done with this Zack Snyder tone. We're redoing everything. Goodbye, Gal Gadot. Goodbye, Henry Cavill. I guess Harley Quinn.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, Ben Affleck is finally retired.
We forgot about that, Ben Affleck.
I'm
upset that Gal Gadot is gone, because I could have used some of her, you know, line readings. The stone, Kalal, no. I love the TikTok accounts that are like, oh, I'm gonna like order dinner like I'm Gal Gadot or whatever, and it's just people saying random phrases in her like sort of semi-shouting monotone voice. It's incredible.
Yeah, well, R.I.P. to our Wonder Woman. You know, James Gunn, he must have seen the writing on the wall. He's like, I don't need any of this drama. I'm going to make a film that's so for the little guy that this Israeli soldier won't want anything to do with it. So that was a good premonition on his part.
I feel like we need to back up though, because
do we?
Well, I just think, I mean, I think that this is obviously coming at the end of the Marvel or of the DCEU, the James Gunn sort of iteration, or the Zack Snyder iteration. But I also think that this is a like direct response to Marvel, because Marvel, you know, with the Avengers, I guess starting back with Iron Man, but then moving into the Avengers and through the all. Now we're on phase 6, I believe, of the, or are we on phase 5? I can't remember. Of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like, we have just had so many superheroes, and obviously Marvel and DC are the two big comic book sort of franchises, and once Marvel was taking off, Warner Brothers, who has the rights to the DC's properties, was like, okay, we got to do something with this. They launched this like very dark, gritty sort of trying to move in the direction of the Dark Knight set of superhero movies that just really never took off. Like, there were a couple of sort of hits in the mix, but most of them were duds. Almost all of them got bad reviews. The Zack Snyder films were always too long, and then they were cut down, and then people hated them. There was the Snyder cut that got released that we did a whole episode on. Famously, I loved that I watched as a TV show. And then there's like various kind of side projects, like there's the Batman with Robert Pattinson. The DC is just doing a lot of stuff. And at the same time, Marvel was continuing to succeed over and over and over again in the first, you know, iteration block of their movies going up through Avengers Endgame. But there was drama where James Gunn, who had directed the first two Guardians of the Galaxy movies, then got canceled for old tweets and got, I believe, wasn't it for old tweets? Is that what happened? Yeah. And so he got like nixed from Marvel. And then there was sort of a relitigation of that where he was brought back. But in the meantime, he got signed up to direct the Suicide Squad sequel, reboot, whatever that was that came out in 2021. And so even though he came back to direct Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, the DC saw that it was floundering and was like, oh, let's actually hire on James Gunn to sort of completely scrap everything that we've done so far and rebuild something new. And so this is the first big splashy movie in this like now revamped DC universe that is going to attempt to do what Marvel did and, you know, have lots of different movies and TV shows that all interconnect with each other and presumably build up to some sort of Justice League kind of thing, where we have a movie
Justice Gang with
various superhero crossovers. And even in this movie, like there was an appearance from Peacemaker, the John Cena character, who has his own TV show. So we're already sort of mixing things in. There's also a Supergirl cameo at the end, and Supergirl is the next movie in the DC universe that's going to be coming out next summer. So we've got some various things going on. But James Gunn also has been very successful at sort of creating kind of bonkers, off the wall versions of these movies. He did the two live action Scooby-Doo movies. He did the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. He did the weird Suicide Squad. So he's kind of known for doing wonky stuff, and I think that people had a lot of anticipation for this new Superman movie because they were like, what is he going to do with this? Like, we've seen so many iterations of Superman. We've seen the dark, gritty version of Superman. We've seen, like, you know, the old Christopher Reeve Superman that's very straightforward. Like, how do you relaunch this new franchise? And they cast David Corenswet, who is sort of like seemingly a nobody. I feel like a fairy. Yeah, but also a fairly like boring choice. Like he's been in a couple of Ryan Murphy shows, but he's not somebody who is like splashy or somebody who, it's not like they cast a black Superman or, you know, tried to do something like interesting in that mode. It's very like, oh, he looks like Superman. He's just kind of like this handsome looking square jawed white guy. Like, great. What is this movie going to be? And I feel like even up to when the promo cycle for this started, I really had no gauge on what kind of movie this was. Did you feel like you had a good understanding of this going in?
I mean, I guess I'm at a point with superhero movies where it's kind of like, you know what you're getting. It's like going to a steak restaurant and you're getting a steak and, you know, the sides might be a little different. The sauce you choose might elevate it somehow, but in the heart of it, it is a very familiar meal. And so, yes and no. Like, I was basically indifferent to this, which I'm sure colored my expectations, but I was like, yeah, James Gunn, he'll make it more colorful and zany and kooky, and it'll still be a Superman movie. So I don't know. I mean, I think it was fairly predictable how it would go. Maybe it was less kooky than his other films have been, but it was also like, yeah, a very streamlined, funny, entertaining piece of, you know, summer film.
Yeah. So did you like it? What was your takeaway from the movie on a high level?
Yeah. So I wouldn't have chosen to see this. Just like, if we didn't have this, I probably would have just skipped it, just because I'm pretty burnt out of the superhero genre. Which I know is shocking to hear me say, but...
I know. Write that down, everybody, for the next time I have to go see a Marvel movie.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I haven't made you see a lot of Marvel movies. I didn't even see the Captain America one or whatever. But anyways, yeah, so I was pleasantly surprised, I guess. Like, I was like, okay, this was fun. Like... I liked a lot of choices made, and I had a good time. I liked that it was, you know, quick. It wasn't burdened by backstory. I think that could arguably lead to a weak script in some ways, or at least weak character building. But with such a known IP, it's sort of like, yeah, I don't need any more context around what it was like for Superman to grow up in the middle of nowhere. And I don't need to know what Lois thought when she realized Clark Kent was indeed Superman. Like, it was like any of those complaints about like, oh, these characters are pretty thinly drawn, I'm like, well, yeah, but we know them already. So I kind of liked that James Gunn seemed to respect the audience in that way and just kind of be like, let's throw them in the middle then. Like, let's just see what he's doing and how he'd react at this time in this context. And so I think generally I enjoyed it. I think, one, for a superhero movie, it was definitely good. And two, for a summer movie, it was like, it was good. It was fun. Like, especially coming on the tail of something like Jurassic World Rebirth. Like, I think, yeah, it fits the popcorn needs, you know? That's how I felt.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I thought it was a lot of fun. I like James Gunn's sense of humor. I like that it didn't take anything too seriously, and it was kind of goofy. I also liked the message of the movie, which I guess we'll get into probably in a bit, and how
basically like Barbie for men.
Yes, in some ways. But less
like, I have feelings, and I am valid. And I was like, yes, yes, King, show that emotional side. He's like, Lex, you just need a hug. And basically that was it. I admired it. I did.
But unlike Barbie, where at the end of the movie, the corporate overlords are actually okay, in this movie, the corporate overlord is the villain all the way through. So I think that some could say, well, makes it a better movie than Barbie.
Yeah, no, I don't know about that. But yeah,
no, not to get sidetracked. Yeah. I think that one thing that this really did for me, and I guess the last superhero movie we had was Thunderbolts, which I did really like. I think we both really liked. And that was doing a lot of, I think, really interesting things within the Marvel space that we hadn't really seen done before. Because, you know, it's taking on mental health in a big way. Mm-hmm. But I thought that the thing that I got watching this movie is how refreshing it is to watch a fun superhero movie that is not burdened by so much lore and backstory and connecting and is just like a good time. And I think that if this is the tone, I saw online that they said this is like the most comic booky superhero movie that we've had in a while, that it feels very much like sort of the fun, goofy tone of, you know, comic books. And I think if this is the tone that, you know, this series of films is going to have, like, I am down for that because I think it opens itself up to be a lot of fun in a way that the Marvel movies, I think, were. But this never quite gets as serious, I think, as the Marvel movies tend to. And yeah, it didn't require me to have watched a lot of other TV shows or be connecting things.
Well,
or be,
yeah, I think that's, you know, the main piece. I don't know. Like, I think if you take the Marvel movies you know, strip down the cameos and the tie-ins, then they're not, they do still try to be pretty playful or lighthearted. But I think, yeah, now they're just burdened with what cameos can we get? How can we like pull in this multiverse in the most bonkers way? But it's just kind of messy and it's just a lot of fan service that doesn't actually is left unrequited. So yeah, I think this was nice because it was like standalone. Like even I think it was nice to have a movie that existed in a sphere where everyone was already in on it, right? Like it wasn't like, oh, people are going to figure out what Superman is and like, oh, wait, there's actually metahumans amongst us. What shall we do? Like it's very clearly a world where a lot of superheroes exist, a lot of metahumans or whatever they're called are around. There's constantly like huge kaiju who need to be fought in this metropolis. And so it's like, it's almost like Superman is just another entity in a very bonkers world. And I liked that. I liked that it wasn't trying to be like, this is our life, this is our normal society. And instead it was like, yeah, these reporters are dressed like fucking psychos. Who knows how this is working? Why do they all need to be on the spaceship to publish this letter? I don't know. But it's like
journalism theory, yeah, Shelby. This
I don't this know.
Made way more sense as a journalist than Civil War did, you know, where she's developing
everybody get on the spaceship. We're doing this now. But no, yeah, like I liked that it existed where Superman wasn't the only heart and soul of the entire world. He was just kind of this other hero figuring it out. He just happened to have some pretty sick superpowers. So it's like having Green Lantern come in was fun, not because, oh my God, they brought in Green Lantern. Oh, what a get. Ah, cameo. It was just like a fun character for Superman to play against. And so I liked that. I liked that the world already knew about superheroes, already was dealing with a bunch of monsters. It was basically just another day in the life of, and I think that allowed the pressure to kind of release of having to be serious about like, what does it mean for humans when some of us are better than others? And so, yeah, I think that helps lighten the load.
Also, I kind of feel like all the superheroes in this movie were a little bit lame. Like even, yeah. Like even Superman, like isn't quite giving as much as you think he is, you know, yeah. Like he is powerful in some ways, but he gets pretty quickly taken out by various people at various points.
That's how it starts. It's like,
yes.
It's what's interesting. Like the rolling title card isn't like, you know, it's like, oh, 30 years ago, metahumans. Oh, 20 years ago, Superman dropped on Earth. 2 minutes ago, he was beat for the first time. And then it's like, yeah, he's not really ever presented as, because frankly, Superman, as it exists, is sort of like, well, this is an annoying superhero because he has no flaws and he's literally unbeatable except for this magic rock that's hard to find. And so it's kind of always boring to see him fight or to watch these battles because it's like, well, yeah, we all know he's going to win. And so I liked that they started by kind of humbling him and he'd botched some stuff and people were all gossiping about him. You know, there's the the troll farms who are just commenting about all of his mistakes. And I thought that was interesting to watch this guy who is earnest and believes he's just like doing it, doing good because he wants to do good, having to suddenly like justify what does good look like. And so, yeah, it was an interesting wrinkle to let him not be king of the world from the get-go. Like he had cool superpowers, but he still, you know, needed help with the Justice Gang to take down this weird lizard man and all of that. So that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really liked David Corenswet's characterization of Superman, where he's just kind of this very nice, sweet guy who is kind of a little naive and just like, yeah, just like wants to make the world a better place. I think that that is the kind of superhero that we need in 2025. Of
it's
not
like it
a
should be easy, yeah.
And like not a super like masculine, like ego driven superhero, like I have to win, but sort of just like, okay, like I guess I'll go help some people because I think my parents want me to, and you know, oh, I like my girlfriend, and
yeah. Well, and his like final speech is like, I get sad and I get jealous, and that makes me human, and it's like, yes, my little alien friend, you are one of us.
The tweets were like, what if we just made Superman kind? And it's like, yeah what if we did do that? Like, actually, that's what we need. It's like, I want Zoran Mamdani, but as a superhero. And I feel like that is what we got with the Superman. So,
yeah, no, it was definitely good casting. I mean, yeah, he's very generically handsome, but I think he does bring an interesting energy to it because he's not this massive Chris Hemsworth or Henry Cavill type. Like, he is huge, as remarked upon earlier this week. He's very tall, and you know, clearly you compare him to like his role in Twisters, he's definitely like put on muscle and whatever. They're highlighting how tall he is by casting the shortest supporting cast ever known to man. But I think beyond that, he just seems like this really, yeah, this total golden retriever of a human. And
and like, was there any shirtless scenes in this? I'm trying to think.
I don't know.
I don't remember that. And
yeah, I mean, it's interesting because for a superhero movie, it really doesn't,
like, it's not like he's hot.
Well, it just like doesn't spend a lot of time on him. Like, yes, it does. Yeah. Obviously. I'm trying to figure out how to describe it because it's like you don't ever see him like, oh, you don't have the classic pull open his white collar shirt to reveal the superhero
right
under it, or dashing off to save a screaming damsel. Like, a lot of this is taking place in like boardrooms and side conversations and then, yeah, fist fights. But there's not a lot of like your traditional, I don't know, kind of, yeah, hyper masculine like concern with the
a team effort.
Yeah.
In the, like, in fighting the bad guys, because obviously there's Green Lantern and stuff, but just also in the plot, it's like we spend a lot of time with these other characters. I feel like the dog might get more airtime than Superman. Like, there's so much stuff with the dog in this movie. And you know, there's Lex Luthor, there's the journalist, there's Lois Lane, there's the other superheroes. There's just a lot of people doing a lot of stuff, which I think makes the plot interesting. Ooh. But also, yeah, it keeps it from being this, like, very centralized thing. And also, I think when you think about Iron Man, he is such a know-it-all, and it's always a task of kind of like humbling him, where I feel like this version of Superman comes in as a pretty humble being. Like, he doesn't have to have that like rise and fall arc that we're used to, where it's like Thor is a god, but now he's going to be made small, and then he's going to come back at the end. It's like, that's not really what they're trying to do here, which I think is an interesting arc change to what we're used to seeing in superhero movies.
Yeah, maybe it's not so like ego driven as we've been trained to expect, where it's not really about how he sees himself. Like, yes, there's the question of like, ooh, what's my identity? But that's pretty quickly solved because a lot of this movie is like, I mean, to get into the plot, I guess, like, he's trying to do good. He's standing up for this little country, maybe a little coded for a little Palestine moment, who have nothing but are being attacked by a much larger force who's being funded by our U.S. government. And it's unclear their need for it, but they're saying they're going to free these people, but actually they're just murdering them. And yeah, that's pretty political. But Superman is like, I don't think this is good. I'm going to stand up for the little guy, quickly inserts himself. And then it's like, did he do that without our authority? And then it's like Lex Luthor's plot is basically, well, I'm going to get this man imprisoned as a scary alien, emphasis on illegal alien. And that way I can do what I want with my super duper, not subtle at all, billionaire tech bro character. And so then Superman is in jail for, like, you know, a large chunk of this, and it becomes all of his smaller, less skilled you know, less physically forceful friends having to figure out where he is and how to save him, which I thought was a cute change of pace too, where, yeah, he does end up, like, you know, using Bronn to get out of there, but also he's relying on a surprising help from the Justice Gang and his magical dog, who was very cute.
Yeah, I mean, I am not a dog person, so I am sort of like, okay, whatever. There's a little bit too much dog for my liking. But I
didn't you respect that it was a bad dog?
No, like, and I did, and I did. And I thought, this is actual dog representation, where this dog is a menace. And Superman clearly likes the dog, but it's like, the dog is a problem. And the dog is, like, helpful, kind of, but is also...
mostly
very unreliable and mostly just gets people into trouble. And I thought, yeah, that's every dog that's ever existed. And I'm sick of people giving me this pro-dog propaganda of, like, my dog never does anything bad. It's the best behaved dog in the world. It's like, no, I've yet to meet a dog that lives up to these claims that people have. And the world would be a much better and more truthful place if we were just honest about the fact that dogs are kind of a nightmare.
You're like Mr. Smarty Pants. What's his name? What's that superhero's name? The tech bro.
Mr. Terrific.
Incredible. Mr. Terrific.
Mr. Terrific. Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't like the dog either. So.
No. And look, he's smart and he knows what's going on, and I appreciate him. We did not need the dog. I also love that David Cornsweet, from the press going on in this movie, appears to, like, be a Luddite, where it's like he has no idea, like, about any memes. He's so off the grid in his, like, they're asking him questions about stuff. He has no idea. Did you see the clip where I don't even know what the premise is, but it's something about, like, they're telling jokes to each other, and they have him reading this joke about, like, that uses the phrase ate, like, you know, she ate, and he is so confused as to what it means, and Rachel Brosnahan is like, you're too pure for this, like, we actually can't be, like, why are we playing this game? This makes no sense. You don't know what's going on. And I just think that's so funny. And I like that fits with his character. I do feel like the one sort of, I don't want to say problem with this movie, but I think the thing that I would tweak is Rachel Brosnahan plays Lois Lane, and I don't think that she really has very much to do, because I think the usual arc for the girlfriend in a superhero movie is, like, them falling in love, but because this happens later on, and we don't get to see them meet, like, we don't have those scenes. So she's kind of just, like, the girlfriend who's there, and there's not really that much, like, plot around her. I don't know. I felt like in comparison to the sort of promo tour of this, which has really leaned into, it's like, oh, Lois and Superman, like, the two of them, it felt very heavy on Superman, and Lois is definitely, like, a side character. I mean, which is maybe to be expected, but
I'm not one to stand up for, you know, film bros and movies that don't pass the Bechdel test. But I do think she has a lot to do in that she's the one who saves Superman and also challenges him. And, you know, I think I liked that dynamic more than this, like, schoolgirly, let's fall in love, or this sort of, like, hard-edged reporter like Amy Adams in the first ones, where it's like, what? You're Superman? Like, you know, I think it was interesting to have them sort of at this early stage in a relationship, the push and pull of, like, testing boundaries and figuring out how they view each other and the world. And then ultimately, she is the one kind of doing the important work. Like, yes, he's saving the world from a rift, but she's also exposing lies. And
she's in that plane with the editors trying to figure out.
She's flying the plane. So it's very intuitive, and she figured it out. And also, I mean, yeah, I don't know what else we could expect from her. Like, she doesn't have superpowers, but she's able to puzzle out where they're keeping Superman and, like, rally the troops to go and, you know, save him. And so, like, yeah, I
Maybe I wanted her to be funnier.
Well, I think she was
kind of boring.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm really used to the boring girlfriends in these movies. Like, you have Rachel McAdams, who is doing nothing, Gwyneth Paltrow doing nothing, Amy Adams doing nothing. And so this, like, she wasn't necessarily dropping jokes, but she was spunky and, like, held her own. And I think I did like their sort of tussle with the Superman interview where she was super annoying, but I think fairly, I guess I liked how evenly matched they were, at least, mentally. Like, she was able to, she wasn't in awe of him in the same way you usually get with these girls falling for superheroes. Like, it was very clearly, like, the implication to me seemed to be that she liked Clark Kent and then kind of stumbled onto the fact that he's superhero, you know, he's a superhero. So it wasn't like MJ falling in love with Spider-Man and then realizing, like, oh, it's it's been you all along. Like, I don't know. So I liked it. And honestly, it was refreshing to not have a sexless superhero flick. Like, obviously, this wasn't really heavy on the romance, but I do think it's been a long time since we've seen anyone kiss in a superhero movie. Like, anyone make out or seem at all interested in a romantic relationship in a superhero movie. And so I thought that was a fun, a fun refresh of, like, life goes on. It can be your worst day and also the best. And I think that was, it was fun to have her be there and their relationship to already be established so that they could kind of reflect those highs and lows.
Yeah, no, I did. I liked
that. And she was a well-aged cast, I think. Like, I think there's a universe where this could have been a very pretty, serious 25-year-old, or, you know, like, I wouldn't have been surprised to see someone, you know, a Sydney Sweeney type. Whoa, that's not her name.
Sydney Sweeney?
Is that her name?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I just was like, Sweeney Todd or something. I was like, that's...
Sweeney Todd. That famous actress. Yeah. I would have loved to see Sweeney Todd.
Honestly. But so it felt like nice to have these matured, interesting characters who just liked each other.
But what if it had been Dakota Johnson? You know, it's like, that's really a question.
Dakota Johnson has her hands full holding up the... Madam Web part.
That's so true. That's so true.
Can't ask that much of her. Okay.
We can only hope for a Madam Web crossover. An icon. It's a wrong, it's the wrong, it's, you know, it's Marvel, not DC, but we'll take it. We haven't
talked about Spider-Man. I thought that was technically.
Well, it's Sony. I guess it's Sony, but it's not Warner Brothers.
Dang it.
I think that you could convince Dakota Johnson that it would be funny to have her come back and play, like, Madam Spider or something, this, in a way, which would be great. I mean, tell me that she wouldn't be an incredible addition to the Justice Gang.
Exactly, for sure.
Fantastic. Yeah. We haven't talked about Lex Luthor at all in this, who is just played by Nicholas Holt.
Yeah.
Who dyed his hair blonde for this press tour, and I think is the only person I have ever witnessed who look male, I'll say, who looks good with the sort of gay crisis platinum blonde hair dye. It is really working for him in a way that
Zac Efron's era of...
No, I didn't. And I think most people look bad with this hairdo. I think he, for some reason, looks incredible. And I do fear that this is going to lead to a lot of people who get this haircut poorly, such as whenever there's a big moment for bangs, and then a bunch of people get bangs and can't quite pull them off. So
you didn't like Rachel because you were so distracted by Lex Luthor's charisma and...
Well, Lex Luthor's hair on the press tour was not in the movie. He's bald in the movie. So I really wasn't distracted by that. I thought he did a fine job as Lex Luthor. Again, I think that there were so many fun interests. Maybe this is what I'll say about Lex Luthor and Lois Lane. There was a lot of bigger characters, like more interesting, sort of funny performances in the mix, whether it be like Lex Luthor's girlfriend or the Green Lantern or Hawk Girl. Like, I think that a lot of those people had sort of more punchy bits. And Lex Luthor, I thought that Nicholas Holt did a good job with it, but it wasn't like, I don't know. It didn't stick out to me in the same way. But I liked that he is this sort of like Jeff Bezos-esque tech billionaire who can pay for all of these things.
More Tesla-esque.
I guess that's true. Yeah, more Elon Musk. But I like that we are at the point where we're really like starting to... I don't want to say that everybody's on board with the billionaires are bad theory, but I think we're hopefully moving in that direction, which, I don't know. I like that mainstream media is now like, billionaires, bad. Like, okay, great. We'll keep that.
Yeah, the baby steps. That's great. Everyone's coming aboard. I mean, yeah, and I think that's... I mean, yeah, Lex Luthor is a pretty generic baddie. He's very clearly just greedy, insecure, like whatever. He's obsessed with Superman. And that's been played with and explored in different ways. But I do like this Nicholas Holt sort of incel adjacent kind of reaction to Superman's himbo energy and kind of those odds. And like, I do think... Lex Luthor is a hard character to kind of make sense of. Just generally, it's like, get a life. Like, what are you
so
obsessed with? So I like the sort of political intrigue here where he just wanted a kingdom of his own. Literally, he was trying to move this piece around. But then it did get kind of confusing. Like, honestly, that's where the movie was like, okay, we're not going to think too hard about this, because the whole like clone thing and like, double teaming it, where he's like, no, I did the political move just to get you here so I can murder you. And I was like, well, wow, why what did you need to do that? I think you could have just caught Superman fighting another beast and really taken him down. So like, be honest with yourself, Lex. Like, this had to be for both reasons, right?
Yeah. I think that when you're that rich, you're sort of just bored. And so you make yourself little plans. Yeah. So you're like, okay, like, let's try to get rid of Superman. Let's try to, you know, buy a new country, whatever. Also, a random side plot, which I did not realize was happening, maybe, whatever, that Jeff Bezos, this has been denied by both Condé Nast and Jeff Bezos, supposedly, but that he's trying to buy Condé Nast to give to Lauren Sanchez because she wants to be like in charge of Vogue.
I cannot. I am hanging on by a thread.
But I'm like, that is actually the, like, obviously very sad, but also so funny if she thinks that if Lauren Sanchez gets to be in charge of Vogue, that she'll be the next Anna Wintour. It's like, no, what will happen is that then Vogue will just become the laughing stock of the fashion world, and some other brand will become the like established fashion brand. Like, there's no way that Lauren Sanchez, being the editor in chief of Vogue, is going to make her the next Anna Wintour. Like, you cannot buy that kind of clout, no matter how much money you have, and no matter who your rich billionaire boyfriend is. It's just not possible. And it's sort of funny to think that someone would try.
Yeah, it is.
Just no, laugh.
For sure. Yeah. So, yeah. I think at the end of the day, I've seen a lot of film critics say that this is the greatest superhero movie ever made. That it, like,
okay, people are just trying to get clicks. Like, people are saying this about every third movie that comes out. Like, remember, what was that movie a couple of years ago with John David Washington where he was in outer space looking for the missing girl, and everyone was like, this is the greatest sci-fi epic of all time. It's like, no one even remembers that movie anymore. We did a whole episode on it. It's like John David Washington, and he's in the future, and there's like clones, kind of like he's in, it's like outer space, and he's looking for some like, he's looking for, like, the cordit or whatever, and he's trying to find it, and then, oh, it's actually this little, like, clone girl person, like a robot girl.
I feel like I know, but I literally, I'm, like, struggling. But I want to remember it.
Clone girl movie. What was it called? The Creator in 2023. Do you remember The Creator? Remember the rave reviews?
Yeah, you were like, this creator, is great. And I was like, this is fucking problematic. That one.
Okay, I don't recall that being our takeaways from the episode. But I was like, wow, this is incredible. And you were like, no, problematic.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
There was a lot of Asian something. I remember Asia being involved.
Wow, look at these simple, yeah. Okay, perfect. Thank you for the reminding. But yeah, I agree. I think there is a lot of eagerness to be the one to call it, to be the one to see it for what it is, like true greatness. And I think we just have to calm down with those sort of descriptors because, yeah, this was a fun movie. I don't think it comes close to any of the top 10 greats of superhero genre films you've ever heard of, but to each their own. I'm glad people are having a good time with it.
I mean, like, it's very fun. I really did enjoy it, but I don't think that anything is happening here that is so transcendent. It's not like Sinners, which I think you see Sinners and you go, oh, this is like a feat of genius, the way that this all comes together, and it's doing something that I've never quite seen done before, and it's working in a way that's new and fresh and, you know, is doing a lot of different stuff. And I think that the response to that was unanimously like, wow, this is...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, it's exactly, and like, Superman is not giving that. Like, I think that the fact that we have had one of those movies so recently, like, I think Sinners is still in theaters in some places, does make it a little bit weird to be like, Superman, greatest movie ever, right? Like,
well, greatest hero film. I don't want to.
Well, even still, it's like, I think that there are superhero movies that you could easily sort of, like, The Dark Knight. You know.
I mean, even like. I think that's going to be hard for the superhero genre. Is that
Thor, Love and Thunder? You know,
it's just been
Doctor Strange and the Multiverse.
The genre has been so done and played with that it's hard to revolutionize any part of it. And I don't think that means that the movies become bad or generic or repetitive, but just that it's going to be harder to make the splash that something like Iron Man did or Batman Begins did, because those have already been done, and also the comedy versions have been done, and also the more true to the comic books have been done. So it's sort of like, I don't think you can give best of to a movie that will exist going forward just based on, I don't know, clout and impressions behind alone. So, but yeah, Superman, it was good. It was like, I'm kind of curious to know what comes next, not as in what movie's next in the pipeline, I can't wait, but more like, are we just gonna redo the whole DC now? Like, is it just gonna be do you know what I mean? Like,
well, I'm glad you asked this
over and over
because I do think that they are moving in some sort of odd direction, because looking at the slate of movies that DC has coming up, I mean, there's only Supergirl and something called Clayface have classic release dates, and both face. I mean, what is Clayface? Like, I don't even a body horror movie story about a B movie actor who uses a substance to remain relevant but becomes entirely made out of clay. Okay. Interesting. So that's coming out next year. And then we have basically the substance, but for clay, the clubstance. Then we have movies called The Authority, The Brave and the Bold, and Swamp Thing that are, you know, lined up. There is an untitled Wonder Woman film and an untitled Justice League film in development, but those are like, don't have anybody attached to them at all. Yeah. So I don't know how likely those are to happen. And then there are some TV shows in the mix, like Peacemakers is coming back, I think, for a third season. There's also something called Lanterns that is that a Green Lantern show?
Also Nathan Fillion. Do you Nathan Fillion? You like
him? No, I don't still.
You said he was funny.
I did, but I don't.
He was funnier than Rachel Brosnahan.
Well, yes. But I think a lot of that is that somebody put him in a bowl cut, which it was a great choice.
Yeah, he was having a good time. Anyways.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't think that we are getting the rollout in the same way that Marvel does with these movies. Like, they're not... Yeah. So far, none of these are really recognizable characters. If you're thinking about the Justice League, you are thinking about Batman, you're thinking about Wonder Woman. Green Lantern we already have and is kind of a wonky side character almost. So I'm not sure what... Like, I think that we're doing something different as far as a larger series of films is, which I'll be interested to see how this all kind of turns out and you know, connects together. But
are you, you're dialed in?
I mean, I'm dialed in as much as I can be for a superhero franchise, you know?
Yeah. So are you hoping for more interesting films? Or are you hoping for another Superman?
I mean, I really like this Superman, and I think that this feels like a really good introduction to these characters. I would like to see them, you know, pushed in a different direction or, you know, take on something a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, wacky, I guess. I think I was thinking a lot about the Suicide Squad with the giant starfish creature and just like how much I liked that movie and how sort of off the wall it was. And I think that because this was Superman, it avoided those types of things a little bit. It had them in small ways, but not in big ways. And I think I would
like himself as like,
right. No, 1,000%.
Yeah.
And so I would like to see what the kind of like next James Gunn movie in this franchise looks like, where he has a little bit more room to play after we kind of work through some of these other movies that he's not directing that, you know, that are setting up pieces again. Because yeah, I would love to see like the Avengers, but in a real wacky kind of funky vibe, which maybe we'll be getting, but
yeah.
Yeah, Superman, successful. I think that it will also be interesting to see how the Fantastic Four plays, because that comes out in just a couple of weeks.
That's right.
And that really has been touted as like, oh, the big tentpole Marvel movie. We've been waiting for so long for this. And it's set in like a weird kind of 60s world or something. Like, it must be in a different dimension. I don't know. There's a lot going on there that I'm interested to see if that follows Thunderbolts in the sort of upward trajectory of Marvel, or if we realize that Thunderbolts was kind of a fun one-off and that actually this is a dying franchise a la Captain America Brave New World. So it could really go in either direction.
No pressure. Yeah, I forgot that so soon. So yeah, look at us franchising it up.
I mean, it's literally in like 2 weeks. Like, let me look at the movies that are coming out as we figure out what we're going to be doing next week anyways. But yeah, I don't think that we have very long. This week is Smurfs coming out. So we'll probably be covering that because Shelby's a big Smurf fan. No, Fantastic Four comes out in 2 weeks. This week is I Know What You Did Last Summer and Eddington basically are coming out. And then next week, it's Fantastic Four and Happy Gilmore 2.
Did you see I Know What You Did Last Summer?
I'm seeing that tonight, actually.
Oh, okay.
But I've never seen the original, so we'll see how that goes.
Final Destination, take two. That's what's happening here. Yeah.
Does everybody always die? No. I know that not everybody dies in I Know What You Did Last Summer because a couple of the people from the original are coming back. So
correct. Yeah.
It feels more like a straightforward horror movie. I mean, I know the premise of I Know What You Did Last Summer. Yeah, it's I Know What You Did Last Summer. Yeah. You killed somebody, and now we're going to kill you off one by one.
Yeah. I haven't seen it either. I was just
How dare you?
I'm curious.
I think we should do Eddington next week, though, if that is a wide release this weekend.
Yeah, like, please.
And you can see it, because I think there's a lot to discuss there. And we can discuss your sort of existential dread, which is always such a fun topic. Ooh, to, you know, dive into.
Yes. Bring you into the mind of Shelby. It's yes. It's basically like Bob in Thunderbolts.
Oh, gosh.
But you'll be there for me. So,
and we can relive my famous Instagram stories of you guys. Like, everybody seems to be out of the park. I don't think COVID is really a thing.
Yes, honestly, that's what gets me through the darkest days, is just that screen grab. I just remember it and I honor it. So I look forward to that.
And some people did die, but like, okay, whatevs. Like, you can't make an omelet without cracking a few eggs.
Yeah.
And everybody dies eventually anyways. So, you know.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If you died during COVID, you didn't have to see Jurassic World Rebirth. Yeah, so really,
like, imagine all the people living side for by side
today.
Imagine there's no war. Is that featured in Eddington? Just give me a little teaser. Does someone want
You know, it isn't. And I think that is a... This really does steer clear, Eddington, of like some of the big tropes. I was waiting for a sourdough loaf. That did not make an appearance. There is some TikTok stuff. But yeah. Also, there's no... I'm sure I talked about this at the time when it came out, but there was this movie that came out last year or so. It was a comedy. It had John Early from Search Party in it. I can't remember. Switch Places? I can't remember what it was called. It was not that good. But there was one joke in it where he's in the middle of something and then all of a sudden people start banging pots and pans, and he has to like go to his window and bang the pots and pans. And I was like, oh, I totally forgot that that was a thing that happened. And it was so funny in the movie. That does not happen in Eddington either. So.
Okay. But that's fine. Yeah, it doesn't have to be everything, I guess.
Yeah. And then we can sort of relive our COVID days and our COVID movies that we watched. We can talk about Tiger King.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what else were we covering that nobody was watching?
When I play Cinematrix, the movie, I'm always like, oh, that would be such a good one, but I can never remember the title, is the the superhero shrimp thing. Like, what was that
called? What?
You know, with
superhero shrimp?
Yeah, like he has superpowers, but it's not until the end that you realize what they are, and it's like he's like, I have the shrimp magic.
It was like Power Up or
something. Oh yeah, Project Power.
With Jamie Foxx. Is that who's in that movie? Jamie Foxx? Yeah. Yes. Where he's like, I'm the scorpion shrimp or whatever. I have the power of 100 blah blah blah. That movie was so bad. That fire breathing guy who like burns himself when he breathes fire. So stupid.
Iconic.
Oh, terrible, terrible movie. Okay, well, next week we'll be back to discuss the COVID-19 and Eddington. But thank you guys for listening. Submit your mailbag questions. We're getting ready for our 400th episode. That will be coming out in 2.5 years. So get excited. No, not really. We're not. We don't need any more questions. Save those for later. But yes, thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week. Bye.